Dave and Darren. It's time for a patron-exclusive episode. This is a podcast we do only for our patrons, who we greatly thank for their support, lo, these many years. I guess since the last time we've done this, we've had our anniversary, right? October is Nacho Radio Month, right?
It is.
Get ready for Dave and Darren's 2021
Spooktacular.
Should we
spooktacular?
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's terrifying. I was talking with my mom today on the phone.
Were you wishing her a happy Halloween?
I did try to squeeze in about, you know, how I enjoyed Halloween as a kid and how I know that was, you know, it was a lot of work for my mom. My mom would like make the costumes, right? Like one year I went as a gumball machine.
Wow.
And she sewed like gumballs all over. She made this entire outfit up and it was like, then they had to blow up the balloons. It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And I think about like her experience as a parent versus my experience with a parent.
Yeah.
She would spend 2 months making a costume.
Right.
And my son wants to wear the same costume 5 years in a row.
Six, 7 years in a row.
It's something else.
It was interesting. I was speaking with my mom a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
She was talking about how much she's always loved Halloween. And I'm like, really?
Never mentioned that.
You've never exhibited
wow.
in any way, shape, or form that you love Halloween.
Wow.
But apparently she loves Halloween. It's her favorite holiday.
This is the rest of the conversation I had. Apparently her and my dad have had diarrhea for some time. She's been trying to get him to drink more Gatorade. They think it's something that they ate is the last that I heard.
Diarrhea.
And yeah, right.
Not Landy the turkey. They didn't finally go ahead and eat Landy.
Laddie the turkey. No, I think he escaped. He escaped. And then she gave me some pretty gruesome details about some other relatives that aren't doing well in the hospital. So, you know, that's how it is. It's a little bit of good news, and then let me tell you how your aunts and uncles are all
really
falling
is.
Apart. Yeah. Come on, kids. Let's grow up.
Come on, kids.
Not
grow
too
up.
Fast.
Exactly. At one point, she described a member of the family's urine as being chocolate-colored in the hospital, and I thought, it's Halloween. I don't need that image in my
Willy
head.
Willy Wonka
Mom.
Fan?
I don't know. I don't think it's supposed to be chocolate-colored, but...
Did he run over her like that?
Was it like that? Well, I was talking to you with my mom because when her mom died, I would have been in first grade.
Okay.
And when they actually laid her to rest, like the day of putting her, you know, to rest, it would have been Halloween.
Mm.
And I was in first grade.
And
I remember this vividly.
Yeah.
Like, I knew
first
that
grade Halloween.
My mother was devastated because she just lost her mom, and
sure.
I loved my grandma, but I also remember thinking
I love Halloween.
We're cutting it a little close here with this visit with the family.
Yeah,
because at 4 o'clock, that's when the trick or treat starts.
That's when the candy starts,
right? So and then they were loading flowers from my grandmother's funeral to take to our local church because the following day was All Saints Day or whatever. And my mom didn't want the flowers from her mom's service to go to waste. So,
right. So
they're loading all these flowers in our brand new station wagon. And I'm like, all this time loading these flowers, we're cutting it close. It's going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a kid does.
I know. Like,
you wouldn't beat yourself up over
it. I don't. It's just that's where your mind is,
yeah,
right? I
sure.
mean, in first
Absolutely.
Grade, it's like there's candy to be had.
Uh-huh.
Everyone in our neighborhood is giving away
Wait
candy.
Wait a minute. What did you say grandma left in her will? What kind of candy? That would have taken the... off. How much candy
now,
did she leave in the will?
Hang on. That would take the sting off of this. Yeah. I think I went as a football player that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not any specific team.
Not the Bears?
No, just a generic. It was a red jersey and a red plastic helmet. So It wasn't like a, no, I didn't go as like a bear or anything.
He went as the Chiefs coach, Hank Stram.
Now that's a good look. You know what? I'm going to have to see if I can get my folks to pull up the pictures and see what number jersey I was in. Maybe I was.
I was Otis Taylor. I was Len Dawson.
It was a tribute to Len Dawson from the Money Store.
But I'm Len Dawson, not of the Chiefs, but of the Money Store.
The Money Store, don't you know? It's just weird, the things you remember about Halloween. Do you have a particular favorite costume that you wore as a kid?
No, not really. But I do remember a very early Halloween in that, and this would have been before, while we were still living in Moline. So it could have been the first Halloween I ever did.
Yeah.
I remember coming back to our house and there was a shadow that looked like there was a giant elephant.
Ah.
In the yard.
Oh, wow.
So what's the CCR song that talks about the elephants?
Elephants are playing in the band.
Yeah.
Was it Tambourines and Elephants Are Playing in the Band? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Every time I hear that song, I think of that image of being a little kid.
Oh, wow.
And coming home, I had completed my rounds as a trick-or-treater, and it looked like there was a big, giant elephant in our yard.
At the end, I'm certain I've told you this story before, and I apologize if I'm repeating, but if I haven't told you, I'm shocked that I haven't, because when I was growing up and I was a little kid, the haunted house in our neighborhood was at a barn. It was an actual barn on Oak Park Avenue. They tore it down and made it a subdivision. But in the late 70s, this barn was this haunted attraction. You'd walk around the barn and they'd come out and they'd scare you. But at the end of the barn, they took you into like the scariest room of all. And it was a giant animatronic Jaws that came out after you. It was a massive great white shark. Mm-hmm. And it would come, it was on like rollers, and it would like come out after you very slowly. And I think the music might have even been playing on like a record player.
Remember,
so like,
I don't remember haunted houses when we were real young.
But the idea that Jaws was in a barn,
yeah.
I remember being so scared that night, like going home, like, oh, Jaws lives in our neighborhood? What?
What is this, like a tribute to superheroes?
Then what ended up happening the next year, there was a malfunction with the Jaws, and it ended up burning the barn to the ground. And the picture in the paper the next morning was just melted Jaws ground.
Was that from Jaws 3D?
No, this was before even Jaws 2, I want to say. This was in between Jaws 1 and 2, or maybe just after Jaws 2. But yeah, it was this animatronic Jaws that ended up catching fire.
Yeah.
It shorted out somehow after everyone had left, and the place burnt to the ground, which made it easier for them to put the subdivision up, which is what they, you know, wanted to do all along. Maybe Jaws was in on it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little suspicious that they got all that Jaws money, Jaws insurance money.
Well, because I think if I remember, it was like, this is going to be the last year for the haunted barn.
Believe it or not.
And then even before it started, it was like September. It's like, no haunted barn this year. Jaws burnt the place to the ground. And then I remember thinking, Jaws can start fires?
but enjoy these new townhomes.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna love it. We had a story this morning on our morning show of a father in Ohio who's in his 70s. He's a senior. His son's a junior. The kid is 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing guitar to the point where dad had had enough and he shot his son.
Yeah.
Now, the dad claims, I was just trying to shoot the guitar.
Yeah.
Now, there's a story from Utah of a son who shot his father after getting the wrong chicken wings.
Ugh. When your taste buds are set on something, were they chicken wings?
Davis County
from a restaurant?
Davis County man facing an attempted murder charge after allegedly firing a gun at his dad because he brought home the wrong variety of chicken wings. Davis County Attorney's Office has two charges filed here, attempted murder and felony discharge of a firearm against 30-year-old Alika Sulafu. He got arrested on Thursday, October the 21st. In the arresting affidavit, the cops say that when his dad returned home with food for Sulafu, he discovered the wings were not the variety that he liked. He became upset, began arguing with his father. During the argument, he went into another room, retrieved a firearm from his father's bag, and pointed the gun at his father. Mm. Sulafu's father says he begged his son not to shoot the gun. As Sulafu allegedly pulled the trigger, his father ducked down. The bullet missed the man, traveled through the wall, and went into the next door apartment where it stopped inside the neighbor's dishwasher.
It's like the Matrix.
After firing the shot, Sulafu's father grabbed him and attempted to wrestle the gun from him.
He ducks a bullet?
During the struggle... The arrested affidavit says that he fired two more rounds. This time, both of those struck the ceiling.
Now, at this point, it's no longer a crime of passion, right?
I'm seeing this through. It's a crime of determination at this point.
Yeah.
What we have is a crime of, I'm going to finish this. I have to see this through.
You fire the second and third shots after being wrestled?
I would think that in a crime of passion or heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Once you fire that first shot,
that's it.
As soon as the shot is fired, you think, oh my God, what have I done?
Right.
I almost tried to kill my dad over some chicken wings.
Right.
Not this guy.
God almighty.
At that point,
it's like one thing. It's like, how does the dad take that? He's like, even dad could be like, okay, I screwed up the chicken wings. I guess I can see how you got, you know, you're a hothead and whatever. You think. But when you fire the second and third shot,
which both went into the ceiling, dad says he was able to eject the magazine and then flee the apartment. So the dad was shot at, but never shot.
Good for him.
I know.
Like, that's a badass there.
He really is. I wouldn't mess with your dad. The kid was later taken into custody. Imagine that, too. You get a bullet in your dishwasher because the knucklehead neighbors are fighting over chicken wings.
Yeah, we kind of like to apologize by offering these chicken wings. I mean, we're not going to eat them anyway.
Are these garlic? You know I don't. I want an Asian zing. What's the matter with you?
Garlic Parmesan?
Who likes those? Disney World. Cracking down on their dress code after people have started to wear suggestive t-shirts. Now, I guess this is a thing at Disney World. When you go there, families.
You mean employees?
No, families.
Families.
If we were to go with a group, if we were to take our families down to Disney World.
A lot of times you'll have reunions.
They get custom-made shirts.
Yeah, right.
So it's like picture a family reunion or.
Have you ever done that?
I've never done a family reunion or done.
No, but I'm talking about getting t-shirts for any sort. Well, I guess you do.
We do for my irregular open.
Yeah, the irregular open.
Yeah, I have done it. Yeah. Yeah, but not for family.
Yeah.
I think we're allegedly going to Disney World at some point next year. I don't think we're getting t-shirts made, though.
Well, there's three of you.
Right.
I mean.
Well, but these shirts.
You don't need to get something that says Minnie, Mo, and Jack. We're the Pep Boys.
Normally, though, you get the shirts made with some sort of Disney theme, you see.
Oh.
So it's like Magic Kingdom, Magic Vacation 2022 or something.
Do they sue you for doing that? Well, copyright? I mean, from what I've heard of the Disney Corporation,
right.
You don't tread on that sort of stuff.
You would think they would crack down just on the fact that these shirts are not.
You didn't buy them from us.
Right, legitimately made. The shirts in question have couples. Where the man has a shirt that says, I gave her the D, and it looks like the D in Disney. And her shirt says, I wanted the D. It's written in like Disney font.
It's the Disney D.
I gave her the D.
I wanted the D. They're holding hands.
Oh, yeah. They're very proud of what they've done
and
here.
And their faces have been...
Park goers shocked by this picture of this couple walking around with the I gave her the D and I wanted the D matching Disney t-shirts. People saying, oh, I wouldn't have to explain what the shirt means to a kid.
Uh-huh.
I would say the D is for Disney World. Uh-huh. That's what that D means.
Yeah.
Kind of tacky to bring to a theme park, says another.
She's also got a shirt that says... that she wears on her chest that says, I wish these were brains.
Well, Disney says they're going to crack down and not allow this sort of suggestive stuff to show up.
I love the fact that they blocked out their faces.
Well, because this guy took the picture and then he blocked out her face because it's, you know, it's like a privacy thing, I suppose. But yeah, I bet the looks on their faces are pretty pleased with themselves.
I'm sure they are.
She wanted the D, and I gave her the D. We might be dealing with a solar flare for Halloween. That's no good.
Solar flare on Sunday?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. A solar flare headed for Earth could trigger the Northern Lights and disrupt our power grid. The sun launched a massive solar flare yesterday that's headed in the direction of planet Earth. They say it's the strongest storm seen in the current weather cycle. The volley of radiation may trigger the Northern Lights if it collides with our atmosphere, and it could cause major issues for power grids, according to some experts. Now, our meteorologist in the morning, Andrew Stutzke, says anytime this story comes up, it's just clickbait, that it's nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But when the NASA Solar Dynamics Observatory is saying, yeah, we're taking a look at this.
Now, you know that Andrew only has to be wrong once.
That's true.
And that's quite frankly, true. If he is wrong, that's all she wrote.
It says here that in South America, it's already caused radio blackouts in parts of South America. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, which tracks the sun's activity, captured an image of this flare heading towards Earth. And they say the result is this flare is the result of a coronal mass ejection, which is a huge explosion of plasma from the sun's outer layer called the corona. Great. We got another corona we got to worry about. Terrific. NASA says that the significant flare is classified as X1. Flares are ranked by letter, with the biggest being X-class and the smallest are A. So this is the biggest flare that there could be. Great. It's already messing with the radio in South America. We'll see. It will hit Earth for the rest of the flare is going to hit Earth over the weekend. It could land on Halloween, a direct hit for Halloween, according to NASA predictions here.
Remember, we still have the live stream that you can listen to.
Oh, no.
So just in case we get this X1 solar flare and it, messes with the FM signal.
Right.
You can still.
Well, if it takes the power grid out, though.
Oh, well.
Then I guess we all just sit and read by the light of jack-o'-lanterns. Solar flares can have an impact on the Earth. They affect our planet's magnetic field, which can disrupt power grids and communications networks.
Do you have a pumpkin to carve?
You know, we're not doing that this year.
Yeah.
No one was interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my wife brought that thing home, and I thought, oh, are we going to decorate that? And she said, no, you idiot. It's a butternut squash. We're going to eat it. I thought it was like a festive Halloween gourd. Apparently, it's a vegetable that we're going to eat at some point. I thought, oh, well, I could see carving a little face on it.
Yeah, beaker.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I thought I could do something with it. Yeah, I don't think we're doing jack-o'-lanterns this year. Unless
it's a little late in the game now. I mean,
I guess we could go tomorrow.
Go get one.
Yeah,
but,
I really like carving jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
It just seems like, you know, I was the only one that was
interested.
You got to
make sure that knife is super sharp.
Hey, your girl Kirsten Chenoweth's getting married.
Oh, yeah?
Finally.
Probably to a younger guy.
Yeah, I think that's for sure.
Safe to say.
Yeah, she's getting married to musician Josh Bryant.
And okay. She says do we know Josh Bryant?
I don't know who this guy is. He proposed to her on the rooftop of the Rainbow Room on Wednesday night.
He's like a creep.
Yeah, he does look kind of creepy, yeah?
How old is he?
I know that she's 53. They're happy to tell us how old she is.
Yeah.
That's kind of a misogynist. Why don't they tell us how old the guy is? He's in a band called Back Road Anthem. Does that mean anything to you?
No. Is that a country band?
It has to be, right? Because I've never heard of it. And he looks kind of like he's wearing a camo tuxedo jacket. So he's got to be some sort of big deal in the country music field. And isn't she like from Oklahoma or something?
Could be.
Yeah. Oh, and it says here that he's an actor? No, that's a different guy. Well, I don't know who this is. They've been dating.
I hope she'll be very happy.
This is, she's been something of a runaway bride, you know. She gets engaged and then she leaves.
Hmm.
She says, now that I've found him, I won't let him go.
Yeah, you say that about all of them.
I will race to meet him at the altar. They first met at Kristen's niece's wedding in 2016. Then again in 2018 at her nephew's wedding. His band, Back Road Anthem, was the musical entertainment at both of the events. Oh, so this guy's a nobody.
He's a wedding singer.
Okay. Now that makes more sense.
And
that's why we know how old this guy
and
is.
And he's 32.
Is he 32?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. And
this one is... Don't expect this one to last long, folks.
She was with Aaron Sorkin for a while. She was with Seth Green, Lane Garrison, Dana Brunetti. She was engaged to Mark Kudish from 1998 until 2001.
How long was she with Aaron Sorkin? A week?
He doesn't mess around. No. No, he gets it over with quick, doesn't he? Let's walk and talk and have this relationship done in a couple of minutes here. There's a mystery that has been solved.
I enjoy the pleasures of the flesh, and that's all.
It's all about the chase for me.
I don't find anything interesting in talking to you.
There were these mysterious bacterial infections in four different states, and the Centers for Disease Control was scratching their head to try and figure out what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out the answer, and this is a serious situation. Two people are dead as a result of this weird bacterial infection, including a kid. And the culprit, it turns out, is an aromatherapy gemstone spray.
I did hear
sold
about this.
At Walmart.
Yes. Yeah.
As soon as the CDC identified this spray, Walmart and the Consumer Product Safety Commission announced a recall.
And what kind of product is it?
It's the Better Homes and Gardens Lavender and Chamomile Essential Oil Infused Aromatherapy Room Spray with Gemstones.
Okay, so it's just an air freshener.
Yeah. It's manufactured in India. If you return your bottles, you'll get $20 back from Walmart.
Well, how much did you pay? How much did you pay?
$30. No, I don't know what. I'm sure they're getting a full refund, right? This bacterial strain was found in the Better Homes and Gardens aromatherapy kit here.
Mm.
Only a handful of cases of this bacterial infection happen every year, and they're usually linked to people who have traveled. So for people in Texas, Minnesota, and Kansas, and Georgia who had no links to travel to get these bacterial infections, the CDC was absolutely stumped.
Now, I don't really have the place to tell the homes and garden people what to do. Doesn't sound like there's anything better about that.
No. No, when your aromatherapy room spray has, deadly bacterial infections in it.
Yeah, I don't know that we can recommend that.
No, that's not on my list of my favorite things for...
must-haves for the Christmas season.
No, thank you. No, I will not be hoping that's in my stocking this year.
Hey, I got this for you. Isn't this the stuff that's killing people? Yeah, but you should mark down to next to nothing. I thought it'd make a nice stocking stuffer.
This is for you.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Your lungs are going to look like you just got out of New Delhi.
Or give it to people you don't like.
Yeah, that's it. You got new neighbors.
You've never given me a gift before.
Here you go.
Really?
I want you to enjoy it.
Well, that ends now.
It all ends now. A 1944 Lincoln steel penny just sold for $373,000. It is the second most valuable penny in the world.
I wonder what the most valuable one is.
The 1944 Lincoln steel penny was sold for $373,750.
That's a hell of a return.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an incredibly rare Lincoln penny. But the it's second on the list. The number one, you asked what the number one most expensive penny was. That was one that sold years ago for $1.7 million.
Whoa. And it was what kind of penny?
Another rare penny, somehow.
You were talking about your grandmother passing away at the beginning of this
patron-only
podcast. Yeah. When my grandmother passed away, I put a penny in her coffin from the year I was born.
Oh, okay. So like a...
I hope it's still there.
Like a time capsule or...
Well, it's just a penny.
So she would remember you or...
No, it's just my little... That's just something I thought of doing. I did it.
How old were you?
36.
Really? Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. I have to assume it's still there.
I mean, yeah.
There's no reason for it not to be.
Well, if it isn't, wow. Story of a wife who convinced her husband that he had Alzheimer's so she could steal $600,000 from him.
What?
A wife has been arrested for defrauding her own husband of $600,000. She convinced him that he had Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
Donna Marino.
Hello, I'm Donna Marino.
Donna, this is my secret. I'm gay. I love wearing women's clothing. Remember this bra? These panties? I love wearing these.
Oh, you've got Alzheimer's.
These are my dead mom.
You don't know what you're doing.
And this is my tribute to my mom.
You don't know what you're doing.
Donna Marino is accused of forging her husband's signature on legal documents, pension checks, monetary settlements, and Social Security
checks.
Here,
let me sign. You can't sign anymore.
You've got Alzheimer's.
I do?
Yes. In all the cops...
What symptoms am I showing?
You've got...
None. All of them.
You asking that question is symptom number one.
That's the biggest symptom of them all. That's the biggest giveaway.
It is? Yes, I tell you this every time.
Denial.
In all, the cops say she defrauded her husband of over $600,000 over the course of 20 years.
Wait a minute. She's been telling him for 20 years he's got Alzheimer's? How old is this guy? He got Alzheimer's. Yeah. He's Alzheimer's when he was 30.
She's 63 now.
Yeah.
His daughter, Elena, says that her dad married Donna in 2009.
Donna? Well, 2009.
That's 12 years.
So she's been telling him he's got Alzheimer's since before they met? What?
They got married.
I don't know you, but.
They got married in 2009.
They dated for.
10 years later, the daughter took a look at her dad's credit score and it had dropped hundreds of points. That's when she started to become suspicious of her stepmom, Donna.
I'm suspicious of a daughter looking at her father's credit score. What is that about? How do you do that?
She says, I went on the town of East Haven and I saw there was a tax lien on his house. So I tried to get in touch with my dad, but she had my dad's phone being rerouted to her phone. Cops say they first got a complaint from the husband in this case in March of last year. He told investigators that Donna had controlled all of his finances and that she had been stealing them from as far back as 1999. Investigators say that she forged her husband's signature on his pension checks, Social Security checks, workers' compensation settlements, and other legal documents before depositing the funds in a secret bank account.
She's been doing this since 1999, and you married her in 2009?
He says it was unaware it was happening until it was brought to his attention.
By who?
He then told investigators that he took some time to consider his options. Donna had used her power of attorney status to fraudulently file taxes in her husband's name. She told investigators she managed to keep her activities from her husband by convincing him he had Alzheimer's disease. She said she believed telling him that would prevent him from going to the bank and noticing the low bank account balances. You can't go to the bank. You've got Alzheimer's.
Can I go to the doctor?
No.
Shouldn't I go to a doctor? Why?
She also convinced him he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and that he just didn't remember going to the appointment.
Oh, well, I guess you could use that on him.
That's, they told you at the doctor's office you have
what
Alzheimer's.
What doctor's office? See? We just went. See? Oh, boy. This is adding up.
They prepared me for this, that you wouldn't remember. She was making up stories in the morning, telling him he was running around the house chasing her.
What?
Saying he was chasing her, saying, get out of my house, I don't know you.
When did I do that?
Now it's kind of worse. I mean, this is a monster to do this.
Sure.
It turns out that the husband's mom suffered from Alzheimer's, and getting Alzheimer's was like his biggest fear. After watching his mom fight to Alzheimer's and lose, he was like, I don't ever want to get that.
Yeah, so she knew what to do.
Mm-hmm. Elena said telling her dad what was going on was one of the hardest things. Quote, he's looking at me and he's going, honey, is this true? Am I broke? I said, yeah, Dad, you are broke. I said, and he's crying. Imagine your father crying to you. It was awful.
Yeah.
And he's like,
Donna, isn't it?
Do I have Alzheimer's? No. And I'm like, Dad, you don't have Alzheimer's. She's lying to you. Wow. Now, this dad's all messed up because the husband's all messed up because of, 20 years with this
woman. But she's been stealing from you 10 years before you married her.
She would use the money to help other family members with rent, groceries, car payments, all without her husband's consent.
Well, that's nice.
Right, you would expect the money was going to like a casino or a drug habit or something.
You're stealing to help people out?
Yeah, she's like Robin Hood. If Robin Hood, instead of stealing from the rich, stole from his husband by tricking him into thinking that he had Alzheimer's disease. Which, again, isn't a great look.
Part of the story.
No, it's not. It's not a great look. Finally, Darren and I have the new words that are coming to the dictionary for the year 2021.
Okay, so is this like the Hall of Fame where they only allow a certain number? Or can as many that need to get in there?
For October of 2021, Merriam-Webster announcing they've added 455 words to the dictionary.
That seems like a lot for just 1 month.
Yeah, well...
Wow.
It's constantly evolving.
How am I going to keep up on this language?
But you know what all these words are, like air fryer. Yeah. Air fryer is now in the dictionary.
Okay.
Am I right? All one word. An interjection. Am I right? Like that?
What?
A-M-I-R-I-T-E. Am I right?
No. Am I right is three words.
Right, but you make it all one word. Am I right?
No.
Am I right?
No, that's not. I'm not going to allow that.
AstroTurf is just now making it into the dictionary, which seems odd because nobody uses AstroTurf.
AstroTurf is now obsolete.
It's been obsolete for a while.
And obsolete is not in the dictionary mm-hmm. for some strange reason.
Breakthrough as a noun, one word, breakthrough.
Yeah.
Used in the medical sense. That's new to the dictionary.
Huh.
Also new to the dictionary, chikharon, a small piece of pork belly. Copy pasta, dad bod, digital nomad. Digital nomad is someone who performs their occupation entirely over the internet while traveling. Doorbell camera is in the dictionary, as is faux hawk. That's a hairstyle that's slicked upward to look like a mohawk, but it's not really one. The fourth trimester is now in the dictionary. That is the three-month recovery period immediately following childbirth.
3 months after you've given birth.
Yeah, they call that the fourth trimester. Halotherapy is a therapeutic use of salt. You inhale salt? Mm. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Super spreaders in the dictionary. Oobleck, which is a mixture of cornstarch and water that behaves like a liquid when it's at rest and behaves like a solid when pressure is applied. And let's see, vaccine passports in there, as is horchata, a cold, sweetened beverage made from ground rice or almonds and usually flavored with cinnamon or vanilla.
Mm.
New words in the dictionary. And there you go. That's going to do it for Dave and Darren's top five things.
Spooktacular!
Let me give you the really spooky voice there.
Spooktacular!
I mean, they're paying for this. They deserve the special effects. Thank you, patrons, for your continued support. Thanks for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. And we'll have another one for you in November. Isn't that the plan?
Our Thanksgiving Spooktacular.
Till we get
followed by our Christmas Spooktacular.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, Kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it.